Proverbs today. I hope you can remember this address. I didn't even know the address till this morning. But Proverbs, I think it's 25:25. I want to look at a verse of scripture there. Proverbs 25:25. I hope that's right. That's right. Proverbs 25:25. I thought even I could remember that. Amen. This is a verse I want to use. I want to welcome our visitors today. I want to say just a couple of things before I read the text. We thank God for our visitors today. Amen. And I want to say this. I have a very, very, very special unspoken prayer request this morning. And in time, I'm sure you may discover what it's about. But right now, the main thing is, God, whatever's on Pastor's heart, amen, whatever that prayer request is, Lord, you work, you intervene, okay? I appreciate you this morning, I really do. I'm glad God answers prayer. Hallelujah. Proverbs 25:25. Let's see if I can find my glasses here. But anyway, Brother Brian, you was up here right when you're supposed to be after the song, brother. Amen. That's why when I seen me and you was headed this way, I said, your turn, ain't mine. I done missed my turn. Amen. Is your wife not here this morning? She's in the nursery. I can talk bad about her then if I ain't got sound up back there. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Amen. I do have just a couple of more quick prayer requests. Well, I had some of them wrote down here. And Sister Geraldine, she's in surgery. Don't forget that. Sister Amanda's dad, she's here this morning. Wally, is he still doing good, honey? I saw him the other day. Wally had open heart this week. Sister Margaret Wallace needs our prayers this morning. Please pray for her. My sister Bobby texted this morning. She's down in her back, and she's been to urgent care or something this morning. So please remember her in prayer as well. Let's read the text and get right into the scripture this morning. I want to look at this verse. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I believe much of what Solomon wrote, I know it was all under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but I believe that much of what Solomon wrote was birthed out of experience in his life. And I can only imagine different affairs, maybe on foreign soil or faraway places. I can only imagine how that the king must have delighted in good news when good news would come home to him. And I know that if you've been in this journey very long at all, you know what it is to receive bad news, but you'd also know what it is to receive good news. And Solomon here in the precious word of God, he said, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, he makes a comparison between cold waters and being thirsty and hearing good news from a far country. And I want to address that this morning with the help of the Lord. Father, we love you and thank you for loving us and thank you for meeting with us in the choir, and the special music, while the ages roll. Lord, I want to get practiced up down here. God, I believe sometimes we're way behind in our praise. God, we pray and we beg you, and God, you answer prayer, and sometimes we fail to praise you like that we should. I pray this morning, Father, that this message would prove to be a blessing to our dear people. God, I pray, Lord, this morning for that request that's in my heart. And I pray, Lord, that heaviness would some way be turned into joy. I pray, God, today that you'll bless and help us as we look in the Scripture to glean truth that would change us, make us more like Jesus. In thy name we pray. Amen and amen. One little announcement. I meant to get this to Brother Brian, and I had to go back during the fellowship and check with my wife and make sure it was so. I asked Brother Ralph last night to talk to Miss Eve about something today. Be sure to talk to her. And he come to me before the service and said, what was I supposed to talk to Miss Eve about? I said, I don't know, brother. I don't remember. Amen. But anyway, I thought Miss Eve had told me that revival is going on at Oak Glen this week, and I found out that's so. Oak Glen's having revival, and Brother Steve Dagenhart, he's been here, I think, on a couple of occasions and preached. He's a wonderful preacher. But if you'd like to go, let us know. If we need to take a van, we'll be glad to. I want our church to support meetings and support other churches and always pray for other churches and pastors and evangelists and realize that we're not in this alone. Amen. We have precious brothers and sisters in Christ. So Brother Danny Sykes is the pastor there. Please remember the revival meeting this week. It'll be Monday through Thursday. Monday through Thursday. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Let's take off on this. I read a little story, and I'll share this with you. Heard about a lady who called her TV repairman to come, and she said, I'm having trouble with my television. He came in and said, well, what's the problem? About that time, the news came on, and she said, look at that news reporter. Look at his long face. The TV repairman looked at her and him and then said, well, ma'am, if you had to report what he's reporting, you'd have a long face too. The first point in the message this morning is the good news is found in the Scripture. It's not found on CNN or any other end, say amen, but it's found in the Scripture. As I began to prepare to preach, and God, I went to bed with this passage on my mind last night, and I woke up about 3 o'clock this morning with this passage still on my mind and my heart. Once in a while, in watching the news, you'll come across a great story. The one that comes to my mind immediately, a while back, there was a terrorist going to kill a bunch of people on a train, and 3 individuals took that man down. And I say, praise God. Amen. Amen. Saved countless lives, no doubt. But most of the time, when you're hearing news from the world, you're hearing news that's not so good. And on the flip side of that, a man said to me one time, it's been probably 6-8 months ago, we were working at church, and he said, Pastor, I guess about every time that phone lights up, it's bad news. Well, you know, a whole lot of the times it is. But just recently, I've had several texts and phone calls that was good news. Praise God. When one of your precious people can call or leave a message with tears and say, Pastor, it's not cancer. I say, hallelujah. Amen. And it is like cold water to a thirsty soul. Amen. Just to hear some good news. I had a call similar to that last night, where a precious father called me and said, it looks like my daughter may be turning around. I said, hallelujah. We prayed, and we'll continue to pray. Amen. And beg God to do what needs to be done, because he's the only one that can do it. But this morning, in the onset of the message, the good news, generally speaking, comes from the Scripture. The Bible said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved. The gospel is called the good news. The good news, it comes from the Scripture. I didn't even realize this was in there when I started on this text. I was just looking for the gospel. He said, if you keep in memory what I've preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered unto you that first of all, that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins, here it is, according to the scripture. And he rose again the third day. He was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the scripture. So the good news comes from the scripture. Praise God for the Bible. I can't get it off my mind when the missionary to the Jews was here several weeks ago. And he said, we can thank the Jewish people for our Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. God preserved His Word, this old King James Bible, so that a hillbilly could hear about Jesus and know that, listen, I'm the guilty one, but thank God there's one that offers forgiveness through the blood of His cross. Good news. I'll never forget when that news became real in my heart. It's one thing to quote the verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But it's another thing when the Holy Ghost comes and sits down right alongside of you and says, for God so loved Rick Vannoy that He gave His only begotten Son. That if Rick would just get up out of his seat and just walk down there and admit he's just a rotten sinner, that Jesus would save him by His grace. Oh, that was good news. Especially after I had lived about a month thinking I was lost and nothing could be done about it. The Lord had answered a prayer and showed me that I was lost, but there was no wooing like there used to be. There was no dealing. There was no conviction. And I had heard the message, God's three deadlines. And I know in this world, there's a deadline we can cross. And God will never deal with us again. But thank God for the good news. The good news of the Scripture. It comes from the Scripture. The Word of God said, and the Scriptures foreseen that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. God knew back yonder when you and I would be saved by the grace of God. God knew back yonder that the Gentile dogs would be invited into the family of God. They would be grafted in. Amen. God knew that way back yonder when He was dealing with Abraham. And according to the Scriptures, He's given us, my friend, an invitation to come unto Him. The Bible said in Galatians 3:22, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. Why would God do that? In Adam all die. Adam fell. Adam disobeyed God. And why would God put us all in the same boat? I tell you why. Because then God could give one son that would be the answer for everybody that's in sin's boat. He could be the one that would redeem them. Just like a man gets thirsty and wants a drink of water. It's good news when a man understands that. When a man understands that he might not be able to reach God. But I tell you, if a man by faith will just reach toward God, I'm glad God can reach further down than we can reach up. I'm glad God has forgiveness to offer. The Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Hallelujah this morning for the good news. It comes from the Scripture. Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, here it is, the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Best news a sinner will ever find in his life comes from the Scripture. comes from the precious Word of God. Why? Why? Why do we carry our Bibles? Why do we teach our Bible in Sunday school? Why do we read our Bible every day of our life? Why do we have this confidence? Why, my friend, do we send missionaries around the world with this message? I tell you why. Because it's the best news that mankind has ever heard. It's good news from a far country. The Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 1 Peter 2 and 6 said, wherefore also it's contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You know how Jesus became precious to you and I? Through this precious old Bible, God's precious Word. Amen. There's good news that's from the Scripture. There's good news this morning for the sinner. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, you don't have to die. That's the good news for the sinner. You say, preacher, I thought we all had to die. Well, Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Actually, for the believer, all we do is change tense. All we do is change that dwelling place. Amen. Now listen, that's why the Bible said, perfect love casteth out fear. I can't tell you how many precious saints of God I've been with them when they leave this world. And listen, they're not afraid, amen, because they have one that'll go with them all the way, even to the end of the world. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. As cold water to a thirsty soul. But when we come to Jesus, when the sinner meets the Savior, I tell you, that's good news for the sinner. That's good news. A thirsty soul. I'm going to read something that the Lord put in my heart about 9:15 this morning. I want you to think about this. Why do so many have such an appetite when Jesus said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water? Why is it that so many people have such an appetite and a thirst for the things of this world? For the things of this world, and have no appetite and have no thirst for the things of God? I tell you why. They've never gotten a drink of living water to start with. Jesus said, when you get that drink, my friend, it'll satisfy that longing in your heart and in your soul. I'm going to say this morning. I hope it'll be taken right. I certainly mean it right. I don't believe there's near as many people in the world backslid as we think there are. I think there's a world full of people that ain't never slid up to Calvary to start with. That ain't never got a drink of living water. Ain't never heard that good news from a far country. Been satisfied down in their soul. That's why when you ask people the question, are you saved? It's pretty easy for many people to say yes. Where do you go to church? Well, I don't really go to church a whole lot. Or be like one pastor I was with visiting, and a fella told him right off the bat where he went to church. He named it just like that. I said, well, this old fella's right. I mean, he's straight. He told the pastor where he went to church. Pastor said, who's the pastor down there? He told him right off the bat, just like that. And I just a young fella. I didn't have no sense. Amen. I didn't know the community like he did. We walked down off that fella's porch, and that pastor looked at me and he said, that man of God's been gone from that church for 15 years. That's the way a lot of people are. Go to church on Easter and tell people they go to church at Bible Way. Hello! I tell you, when we hear the good news, hallelujah, it'll change us for his glory, for his name's sake. Why do so many have such an appetite, a thirst for the world, the things that are contrary to the doctrine of God? It's because they've never gotten a drink of living water. Let me give you something now. I'm going to teach you this, and I'm going to shut her down for this morning. Boy, you need to come back tonight. It's going to be good tonight. We're going to see some examples in the Scripture. We're going to look at some examples in the Scripture where somebody heard some good news from a far country. How they got them a drink, amen, when they heard the good news from a far country. But listen, in our relationship, listen to me carefully. All it takes is one drink. How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. Listen, when you come to Jesus as a sinner and you trust Him as your Savior, you can get you a drink of living water that'll satisfy you all the days of your life and all eternity. Amen. In our relationship, it just takes one drink. Listen, Jesus said in John 4:13, Jesus answered and said unto her, listen, He's talking to a woman that had five husbands. The one she's got now is not her own. Amen. The woman at the well. And Jesus said here to her, listen, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Here's a smart woman. She might have been a sinner woman, but I tell you, she was a smart woman. Listen to what she said. She said to Jesus, she said unto him, Sir, give me this water. Hallelujah! When a sinner says, I want a drink of that water. That's the water I need a drink of. Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I'm going to tell you something right now. Oh, happy day. February 22nd, 1987, my soul was parched. I was living in a desert, in a barren land of sin. Oh, happy day when I got a drink of living water. Happy day. Listen, when you're talking about relationship, one drink will do. But listen to me carefully. By the way, what I'm saying to you is the only way I believe you can marry these scriptures together. The scriptures never contradict themselves. They just need to be married together. They just need to be understood. Let me give you what I'm talking about. Listen now. The Bible said here, whosoever drinks this water shall thirst again. The psalmist said, listen, in our fellowship, Paul said that I may know him. One drink's not going to do. You got to drink every day to have fellowship with him. That's why Jesus said, I am the bread of life. But then in another place, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Watch this now. The Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah, he said, oh God, thou art my God. David had already been saved. David was already a man after God's own heart. He said, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Hallelujah, there's no water here in this world for the Christian. But thank God there's a fountain flowing from another world for the child of God. Through the Scripture, through the precious Word of God. The Bible said in Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessings upon thine offspring. The Word of God said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Question this morning, in relationship, one drink will do. But I tell you, have you ever been thirsty for God since you've been saved? There ought to be a hunger. Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'll tell you, my daughter got on me the other day. She might as well get ready for it. It's going to be a battle. I had me a little glass of Diet Coke. And I don't drink a lot of soda, but it was a treat that day. I had me a little glass, and all the ice had melted, and the water, Brother Johnny, was just barely caramel colored. It was mostly melted ice. And Olivia was sitting on my lap. I said, baby, you've been sucking on one of them bottles long enough. You want to try a drink of this? Honey, she got her little sip. She lit up. Miss Eve said, Charity ain't going to like that. I said, she ain't here. Amen. Olivia liked it. Amen. Now, I'll do what Mama says most of the time. But I'll be honest with you. It was mostly water. It really was. But, oh, I'm telling you, you could put it up there. And she drinks better out of a glass than any baby I've ever seen. And, by the way, if you haven't seen her outfit this morning, you need to see it. It's awesome. Amen. But I tell you, I'd turn it up there, and Brother Johnny, I'd set it back down there between my legs, and she'd be going like this. She's going to fall in that glass head first. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? That baby, Brother Rose, got a little streak of something she liked. She wanted some more. I tell you, if you ever meet Jesus, you'll get a drink of something you like and you'll want some more. Say amen right there. Oh, just one little sip ain't going to do. You're going to have, my friend, listen, a belly full, then it'll run out of you and help somebody else along the way. In our fellowship, that I may know Him. The Bible said, ho, stop. That's what that word means. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money. Aren't you glad you don't have to have money? Aren't you glad, Brother Ralph, for the song, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money. And without price. You can't put a price on it. Jesus paid it all at Calvary. The Word of God said in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The Bible didn't say if it was any good man. If there's any man that had straightened up, any man that deserved it. You say, preacher, why didn't the Bible say that? Because there's not a man living that deserves a drink of this water. Amen. All of grace is my story all the way from earth to glory. Since by grace He lifted me from sin and woe. Living grace He has extended as on Him my heart depended. And there'll be new grace when it's my time to go. Beloved friend, Jesus invites you. He said in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You say, preacher, is it good news for the sinner? Yes, it is. But it's also good news for the saints. If we have that thirst, the Lord said we could come to Him. He would pour water on him that is thirsty. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, He said, I thirst. Brother John, our Lord went to Calvary and thirsted like no man has ever thirsted before, that we could have a drink of living water and never thirst again. Isn't that a blessing this morning? Isn't that a blessing? That's good news. Good news from the Scripture. Good news for the sinner. And good news for the saints of God. I tell you, I thank the Lord this morning. You know, this morning, there's a rich man in hell. He's thirsty this morning. See, a lot of people misquote, and I'm not picking, but they'll say, he lifted his eyes in hell. That's not what Scripture said. It says he lift his eyes in hell. It's ongoing, never ending. He'll get out. I don't know the period of time, but he'll get out of hell just long enough to stand before the great white throne judgment and be cast into the eternal burning lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. Thirsty. Thirsty. And he waited too late. He waited too late. If he could do it over again, he would be like the woman at the well. He would say, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not." This morning, all over Bloomingdale, some this morning, they got up. The first thing they did, they maybe got them a cup of coffee and they got them a Bible and they went off somewhere and prayed a little while. Prayed for their pastor, prayed for their Sunday school teacher, prayed that God would give them a good service today in the house of God, maybe broken for someone. I sent a text out this morning to someone at 5:30 a.m. You say, "Why would you do that?" Because the Holy Ghost of the living God put it on my heart. That's why. It was, my friend, filled with Scripture and filled with the love of God. What that individual does with it will be on their head. Let me tell you this. All over Bloomingdale, many people hadn't read a verse of Scripture until they get to church. Let me give you something worse than that. Many people not even going to church in Bloomingdale. Many of them, it's noon, haven't even woke up yet. They rolled their sleeves up last night and tied a tourniquet around, stuck a needle in their arm, had a party somewhere, began to drink. And they say nowadays, I've seen it on the news, I know nothing about it personally, but they'll just all go to medicine cabinets everywhere and just get the pills and bring them and throw them down on a coffee table and begin to mix them up and crush them. And you say, "Preacher, what's wrong with people?" I tell you what's wrong. They're thirsty. They're trying to fill that thirst. They're trying to fill that void. You say, "Preacher, why would a man go out here and cheat on his wife? Why would he destroy his family? Why would pastors destroy a ministry? Why would we do what we do as human beings? Because we're trying to satisfy a thirst that we're not getting to the fountain that can satisfy." The thirst, as good news is from a far country, so is cold water to a thirsty soul. I tell you this morning, there's not only men. I can remember Dr. Adrian Rogers years ago. I don't know if I read this or I heard him say it. Excuse me. Brother Adrian was witnessing to a man. The man was well-to-do. His lawn was manicured just right. Brother James, his shrubs were manicured just right. I'm picking at Brother James this morning. He likes to get it just right. I like that. Amen. Everything was just right. That nice vehicles, a nice driveway. And the pastor caught this man out in front of his house and began to talk to him about how, he said, "I'm doing wonderful." He said, "Look at this fine home." He said, "I have fine children." He said, "I have a fine wife." He said, "I have a wonderful job." And Brother Rogers asked one question. He said, "But do you have peace?" And the man began to tremble, Brother Rose. And sometimes when a man, God gets to deal, that chin goes to jumping up and down. He said, "How did you know? How did you know?" He said, "Because homes and children and a job and a fine wife can never give a man peace. He has to have Jesus in order to have peace." My question this morning in closing is this. Do you have peace? If you closed your eyes and never woke up again down here, do you know that heaven would be your home? You say, preacher, can a man really know that? Well, I'm glad I have scripture that says you can. These things are written unto you. There's that good news from a far country. That believe on the name of the Son of God that ye may know that you have eternal life. That you may believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. We were with Brother Mitchell, some of the men, down in Sirgoinsville before he was here with us in revival. Oh, I'll never forget this, Brother Ralph. When Brother Mitchell looked out over that congregation and said, where are the young people? He made this statement. He said, if there wasn't anything in the house of God, no more than what most churches has got today, he said, I doubt if I'd ever went back. That's what he said. And the Lord broke my heart for our church and our young people and our kids. Brother Gale, you remember at Christmas time, I was sitting here. That stage was plumb full. I don't know if it was Christmas or Bible school now. I can't remember. He said there were 64 little ones up there. Brother Gale leaned forward and whispered to me. He said, I'm praying for you, buddy. You've got a responsibility on your hands. Well, can I say this to you, church, and say it reverently? It's not just my responsibility. It's all of us' responsibility to see to it that we live a life that would lead them to a place where they can get a drink that'll satisfy their heart and satisfy their life. Because if they don't get satisfied with Jesus, they'll begin to look elsewhere. For satisfaction. And I'll say this morning. Most of you already know it by experience. You can look everywhere, but you're not going to find it until you come to Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Brother Ralph, get us a song. You and Miss Becky, thank you. Oh, this morning, I would to God you could see my heart. As cold water is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Are you thirsty this morning? There's an empty spot down inside. Oh, how Jesus wants to fill it. Wonderful thing about Jesus, he don't just take away our sin. But he don't just leave us empty. He's got him a bucket. It's so full of grace and so full of love and so full of joy and so full of peace. Oh, I'm glad he didn't just empty out my sin that night, but oh, he filled me back up. What a blessing to be full. There's somebody here this morning and you say, preacher, I'm just being honest. I don't have peace. There's a big old void in my heart, a big old void in my life. I've tried filling it with this, that, and the other. But preacher, I need Jesus. Please pray for me. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not come to you. You just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, preacher. Nobody looking but me and Jesus. Pray for me, preacher.